Blog Talk Radio.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap. And I tell you what, the men, they're now all men, the guys I work with down here, and they're all guys at the time, they're all good men. Most of them may.
And I love kids jumping on my lap. That is former Vice President and Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden talking about he knows all about roaches and kids jumping on his lap. And, you know, I have to ask you a question. If you just open Facebook during the Democratic nomination process, right, and you had all these Democrats running for, you know, the coveted seat there to run for president of the United States. And if you just opened up Facebook or any Instagram, all you saw was pedophile Joe and Joe with his inappropriate touching. And this guy thinks that it's a smart thing to go out there and talk about kids jumping on his lap at the pool. I mean, what is wrong with this guy? And please, don't make me play other clips. I could sit here all day. We could take the whole 2-hour show and just talk about, you know, Joe Biden comments for 2 hours and his, if you don't think that his mental acuity is called into question at this point, I don't know what else to say, but welcome to Will's Wake Up Call. We're here again live tonight for 2 hours from 8 to 10. You can call in and talk. You can call in at 914-205-5369, 914-205-5369. We're going to discuss a plethora of different topics. So whatever you want to speak about, I'm open to speak about. However, obviously, our top topics, our single most important topic, the whole reason I voted for Donald Trump in the first place, is the Supreme Court. And should the Supreme Court fill the vacancy that was left by the passing of Justice Ginsburg? And I have my own opinions on that. I'm sure all of you do. And we're going to talk about things that have been said and things that are being said today. And of course, we're going to get into the hypocrisy that people, you know, see through their perspective. But the single most important reason I voted for Donald Trump was the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is more important now than it was probably at any point in our history, I could argue. You know, to listen to the left argue that Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned is preposterous. I mean, pretty much every justice has come out and said that it's, you know, it's settled law and that's how it is. But, you know, you may be in jeopardy of being able to abort babies up until the day they're born. You may be in jeopardy of being able to kill babies the day after they're born. Or if they're born in a botched up abortion and they survive, you may be in jeopardy of doing that to fully grown viable babies. And you should be in jeopardy of that. And anybody that wants to call up and argue about how Donald Trump and the Republicans will make you carry a baby to term, a stillborn child to term, it's ludicrous. And there certainly could be caveats in the law to make sure that things like that don't happen. But someone like me that doesn't believe in abortion would make the concession that the original Roe versus Wade decision would be where we can compromise. However, that's not what the left wants. The left wants to be able to abort babies up until the moment that they're born. It's savagery. It's insane. And I hate to hear the argument, oh, it's my body, I'll do what I want. That's the weakest, dumbest argument that you could possibly make. It's your body, you'll do what you want? Oh, really? Is that how it works? Okay. So then why can't you shoot heroin? It's your body. Why can't you smoke meth? Why can't you go running naked through the schoolyard? Because there are a certain set of morals and principles that we value as a society that we decided to legislate Anyway, fact is that our democracy and constitution are under attack by the left. Limits on your free speech and Second Amendment are happening all over the country through left-wing legislation in these Democrat states. Now, you know, I know I'm going to hear about Lindsey Graham and Cruz making statements. Supreme Court justices shouldn't be confirmed in an election year. It's hypocritical to confirm one now. Well, wouldn't the Democrats have put Merrick Garland on the court during an election year? Despite the Biden rule? I love when I hear them say, oh, well, you know, that precedent was set by Mitch McConnell. No, it's the Biden rule. 1992, Joe Biden decided to make a rule. There wasn't even a vacancy on the Supreme Court, I don't think. Decided to say the Biden rule that we won't fill a seat in election year. So despite that, you know, actually to steal a line from the Democrats, one of the few times I can agree with them, hashtag do your job, right? Schumer, Hirono, even Obama chimed in on the do your job chant. So by that logic, then these Republicans shouldn't confirm in an election year, then I should be able to count on the Democrats willing to confirm in an election year, given that they were so willing to do so in 2016, right? Should be able to count on all those Democrat votes. If someone reasonable is put up, and they were more than willing to put up Merrick Garland at that time, hashtag do your job, then by the logic that these Republicans are hypocrites for confirming a justice in election year, then the reciprocate of that should be, well, all these Democrats that were more than willing to put Merrick Garland on the court should definitely be willing to put him on the court, should be definitely willing to put whatever nominee Trump puts up on the court now as long as he's acceptable, right? Oh, man. But you know what? All the Democrats have left right now is either shame or threats. And I really could give a crap about like either of them. I mean, look at what they're resorting to as a at the mention of the nomination. We'll burn the whole thing down. Don Lemon said we'll blow up the system. Pelosi was talking about impeachment. I thought these people were lawyers. So hold on, let me get this straight. You're threatening impeachment for the president fulfilling his constitutional responsibility. Am I getting that correct? Now, AOC is saying the same thing, but, you know, AOC is a moron, so that's okay. I mean, AOC literally has a room temperature IQ at best. AOC's running around out there talking about it's her dying wish. Listen, AOC, this is not a a monarchy, okay? She's not a queen. She doesn't get to name her heir to the throne. It's an honor reserved for the president of the United States. The whole reason I voted for Donald Trump. Wasn't it Ginsburg that said a president's elected for 4 years, not three? Let's not forget the shameless act of Congress in which Obamacare was passed, while Republicans echoed Thomas Jefferson that great innovation should not be focused on slender majority or forced on a slender majority or enacted without broad support. Okay, but it looks like we're at politics as usual right now at this point. I mean, Ted Cruz pointed out in that interview with Stephanopoulos that 29 times a vacancy in an election year, all 29 times there was a nomination. Like, no matter what side you're on, you can't get upset that Trump is nominating someone. I mean, he's supposed to nominate someone. Now, you could argue whether they should be passed or confirmed on their merits, number one. Number two, on your whole, well, these Republicans said they wouldn't do it in an election year. I think one of them even said, you could use my words against me. Not really a smart statement to say in politics. But, you know, of those 29 times, 19 times, the same party had the Senate. And of those 19, 17 were confirmed. Of the other 10 times, Merrick Garland was one of those, only two were confirmed. So, you know, nothing for nothing. I didn't vote for those guys, so I really don't care. I voted for Donald Trump mainly, huge issue. There were a few, but the biggest one by far was the Supreme Court. I thought we would get two nominations. Now it looks like we can get three. But, you know, if it costs you your election, some of you guys, well, then, you know, you couldn't have chosen a better hill to die on. That's how I look at it. And we're going to take a call here. We're going to take a call. Hold on. Let's see. Somebody's on hold. All right, caller, are you there?
Who's this?
This is Will. This is Will. Will's wake-up call. Yes, hello.
Hey, Will. It's Bill, William Roche.
Hey, William Roche Esquire. What is it with you lawyers with those? William A. Roche Esquire. Yeah. You have those three names, like those, like assassins. What's going on?
A lot of lawyers think being a lawyer is who they are, not what they do. And they like to feel important. So, you know, it's a job just like any other job. So doesn't make you a better person, doesn't make you a worse person. So that's how I feel. All right, I just want to talk, first of all, notice your use of the word plethora. Do you even know what a plethora is?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Free amigos.
Go ahead.
What do you call it? Now, with respect to Roe v. Wade, a lot of people agree. That's the one thing on the left. The ends justifies the means always. All right. The result in Roe v. Wade, it didn't matter that the law was bad law, and there probably could have been a way to write that decision, giving stopping the government from restricting a woman's ability to have an abortion without creating a new constitutional right that doesn't exist in the Constitution. So it was bad law. There are people who are pro-choice or pro-abortion, whatever you want to call it, who agree that that was bad law. It was a badly written a black man wrote the decision. It was a badly written decision. And there could have been another way. So when they talk about overturning Roe v. Wade, they're not necessarily saying they're overturning someone's ability to have an abortion. They're saying they're overturning Roe v. Wade, because when you have a decision like that, Roe v. Wade, now everything in that decision is now a proclamation of the United States Supreme Court that could be used in other areas of the law. And so, you know, you have certain rights granted to you under Roe v. Wade. Now, how far do those rights extend beyond the abortion arena? All right, so that was that. Hold on, I have another point to talk about. So the Democrats, like I said, the ends justifies the means always. So if it means that they're going to knock down Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court, then it's an absolute that you never nominate a Supreme Court justice in an election year, no matter who's controls the Senate, whether it's the president's party or the opposing party. So that's, you know, and they'll change that rule when they control the presidency and the Senate and say, yes, you do. You know, just like they'll keep flipping. As long as it's in their favor, that's where they stand. And, look what happened with the impeachment. If we would have impeached, if the Republicans had impeached Obama and denied the Democrats from calling witnesses, denying anybody but the House the Judiciary Committee from attending the statements of witnesses, denying the Obama's counsel from being present in the hearings, denying him the right to ask questions of witnesses, holding back exculpatory transcripts that would have
had,
you know,
meetings in secret bunkers without the opposing party being allowed to be there. I mean, from the get-go.
And saying it's classified and not releasing the ones, not releasing the transcripts that would have helped Donald Trump. You know, and then they're talking now about hypocrisy.
Oh yeah, hypocrisy. You mean hypocrisy, like talking about a quid pro quo, and then you run a guy for president that actually told the president in the Ukraine, if you don't fire the prosecutor, you're not getting the money, like that kind of hypocrisy.
Yeah, that kind
like
of
the kind that
I mean,
says you're investigating my son, so you're fired, and if you don't fire him, just ask Obama. Just ask him, call him, ha ha ha, and laughed about it in public.
Yeah. Well, there's no fact checkers for the left. There's only fact checkers for the right. You know, Donald Trump does a town hall with Stephanopoulos, who used to work in the Clinton campaign, and he not only is faced with, you know, they're supposed to be these independent, undecided voters. And meanwhile, they're spewing the Biden campaign talking points. You know, so he not only has to fight them, but he has to fight the host of the town hall, George Stephanopoulos, who's fact checking him on the spot.
Right.
That's because
and we're going to talk about it later too. That's because Trump does dumb things. I mean, can you imagine Joe Biden agreeing to sit down in an interview with Mark Levin or Bill O'Reilly?
No.
Can you
Trump
imagine it? No, of course not.
I think Trump realizes.
Why would he agree to that interview or town hall?
Because if he appeals to one viewer of that show that doesn't watch,
you can only look bad.
No, it's not with Donald Trump. Donald Trump, first of all, he's used to walking into he doesn't care. He's not afraid of anything. But if he can appeal to, say, 1% of the people who watch that show, 1%, even if 99%, you know, confirm their opinion that he's a buffoon, he's got no class, he's evil, he's racist, he's this. If 1% heard him talk and maybe change their opinion about him, then he succeeded in doing something. Because he could talk till he's blue in the face, and if Fox News and OAN are the only ones broadcasting it, and their viewers are the only ones watching it, he's not convincing anybody. And as many people like to say, you can't win an election just with your base.
Did you see, well, we're hoping that the best way to win this election is get your base there, win some independents, and hope the other side doesn't vote for this decrepit, feeble-minded old man. I mean, let's really face it. How are they going to rally?
I think Barbara Lagoa, I bucked at the conventional wisdom that it's going to be Amy Coney Barrett as the Supreme Court nominee.
I'm hoping it's Coney Barrett, but you know, I'd like to look into some more of the shortlist.
I think it's going to be Barbara Lagoa, right? Barbara Lagoa, who is the justice who ruled that the felons have to pay their fines and restitution before they can vote, which is a huge win in Florida for Trump. Because just like Terry McAuliffe in Virginia in 2016, pardoned.
That's how they win elections.
Felon.
Yeah, let's get some crack dealers and some rapists because we know who they're going to vote for. If that alone doesn't get you to question the party you're voting for right now, I believe that the Democrat Party needs to be taken to the woodshed right now, handed a beating like they've never gotten in this election, and then they can try to rebuild this party. Because listen, I have to be honest, there are some things in the Democrat Party that I can see myself definitely supporting. Okay, I support gay marriage. Actually, I support it from a conservative viewpoint. Actually, I believe that conservatives really should support gay marriage, considering that if we believe in keeping the government out of everything, then why shouldn't they have the right to have the same financial protections under the law as a married couple of a straight married couple?
Well, they did. They always did contractually, because Well, the marriage is a contract. So they always did. I always believed in civil unions. I mean, at this point, the cows have left the barn. Gay marriage is the law of the land. It's been, you know, upheld by the Supreme Court. The people who are in love are getting married of the same sex. There's no re-arguing that. But to be honest, my initial opinion was I thought that a gay partner should not be barred from a hospital room when their partner's dying. I thought that there should be laws that when a gay person passes away, that their partner should inherit their estate by operation of law.
Without taxes.
So
Without taxes up to the limits where until you pay taxes on estate tax, like under $5 million or whatever it is, there shouldn't be any taxation.
Yeah, but,
it should be treated the same way as a husband.
I always thought they should have the same rights. I just thought that the term marriage had some religious.
Well, you know what? No matter what you need, qualify it. It has to be called gay marriage or same sex marriage. So what's the difference? I mean, listen, to be honest, I may offend some of my more conservative viewers, but I am certainly not a conservative from the Jesus perspective. I am a conservative from a constitutional perspective. So
I went to an all boys Catholic high school. I don't hate anybody. Everyone always says that, it's fine that the Catholic Church will accept gay people, but they ban gay sex. Well, they ban heterosexual sex too if it's outside of marriage.
I do want to ask you a quick question because I have a couple other calls on hold, but I want to ask you a question. So do they get their nominee through? Do they get them confirmed?
Right. Oh, yeah.
I'm asking you.
Yes, I think so.
Well, it looks like Romney is going to do it.
Yeah, Romney. So they got – well, put it this way. They can only afford to lose 3 senators.
Right.
They lost 1, maybe 2. Right.
Well, we know that Murkowski and Collins already said, you know. And you know what's funny? They say something like, in all fairness
people. They said different things. They said different things.
Hold on. But I'm just saying,
One of them.
When you say, in fairness to the American people, we should wait till after the election. When you say that, we should wait till after the election. What do you mean? How about in fairness to the American people that voted for Donald Trump for the Supreme Court, thinking that she was probably going to pass during this?
You got
what about those
people? Words here. You gotta play Bill Clinton. You know, depends on what the definition of the word is.
I'm just gonna be yelling at people on the internet.
You're dealing with politicians. So when they say until after the election, we got 50 days after the election before Trump
lame duck
the new president.
Lame duck ram it through still.
Yeah,
maybe.
And that's exactly. Well, first of all, we have less than 45 days, less than 45 days until the election. You tell me, as contentious this is, that they're going to finish the judiciary committee hearings and have it leave the judiciary committee and have a full Senate floor vote in 45 days? I mean, they'd really have to rush this thing, and they probably have to. I mean, fine. She's already confirmed for Coney Barrett was confirmed for the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, and they had a confirmation hearing. So maybe you could argue that
if that'll expedite things, let's take it.
So, but I think that Murkowski and Collins, when they say they're not going to vote on it before. They're not going to support the nominee before the election. Well,
that doesn't mean
they
won't pass it.
That doesn't mean they won't vote for it after the election.
Right.
Or maybe they'll vote against it with the knowledge that
we have it anyway.
Still has enough. They have it anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Just
yeah.
Like,
let them save face.
Name, what's his name? The Democrat Joe. Joe Manchin.
Yep.
You know, he votes. As a conservative Democrat, when it doesn't hurt his party.
All right, let me take the next call. Bill, thank you for the call, right, as always. I mean, your expertise is appreciated. Thanks a lot, Billy.
All right, take care, bye. Buddy. Bye.
All right, now, good call by Bill. A little bit of knowledge. All right, caller, you're on. Hello.
Hi. I don't think I'll be on very long with you. Because every time y'all tell a lie, I know the right answer to give back. But y'all sure are full of it tonight. I ain't saying there's anything wrong with being a conservative, because I've been one my whole life. But this conservative party is not what the Republican Party should be.
Elaborate.
So tell me where I'm wrong.
I don't know what you just said. You said nothing. So say something.
That figures.
Yeah, it figures. You said three words, and then you said nothing. So go ahead, say something. You sound like a Democrat. You talk, and then you say nothing, and then you expect people to read your mind.
Yes, you damn right I am one now. I'm, like I said,
you were never
a
conservative. If you were a conservative, you'd be able to articulate your point. You sound like a bumbling imbecile.
Well,
so go ahead, give me some fodder for my fan base.
Just keep trying to overtalk me.
Give me some fodder for my fan base. Say something then.
First off, you
spit it out.
Give me a chance, you son of a bitch. Let me talk.
All right, go ahead. You know what? I'll let you get one of those, dummy. Now go ahead.
I know you're going to stop now because you ain't going to let nobody say
nothing. No, you haven't said anything yet. Now say something or get off the air.
You ain't getting a chance. Fuck you.
Great, you're gone. That's a Democrat for you right there. That's a Democrat right there. This is not what the party should be. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? And then when told you don't say something, then he explodes and says, well, of course, what did you say? Oh, my God. Let's get like a normal caller, please. Get these babbling imbeciles. So anyway, let's go to Biden's town hall. The softball questions that he was being asked during the town hall. I had another call on hold. I think they accidentally got clicked when the other caller got clicked. But if you want to call back, we'll talk about the softball he was receiving and the questions that he was being asked by the audience that was calling for him. And they would come up and they'd say, well, Mr. Biden, you know, that Donald Trump ruined the whole world. Can you tell us how you would make things better? I mean, Biden actually had the audacity to say that all these people would still be alive if Trump had acted sooner. They'd all still be alive. Said 200,000 people died from COVID in the United States. And they'd all be alive if Trump had acted sooner. So then that begs me to ask the question of what would Joe Biden have done? I mean, so far he's on record saying that he would have closed things down later than Trump. If he's saying that, it's extremely xenophobic. It's extremely xenophobic to close down travel with China. So then that would lead me to believe that you would have done things later. And that he also said he would have done more to shut down the economy. So then that means that things would have probably been worse in our economy. Or the clenched fist that he held there. And he held his clenched fist when he was talking about Trump calling them losers and suckers. First off, that is completely unsubstantiated and ridiculous and erroneous on all counts. I mean, only something like The Atlantic could get away with making some statement like that and make a statement about Trump that's completely unfounded and then have people that are running for president come out there and make quotes about it as if it were fact. I mean, if that were written about any other president or anyone else, that article never would have seen the light of day. I don't even know how that got out there and how people that are running for president of a major political party can come out there and recite that. You know, he talked about his son that died when he held his clenched fist of cancer. And he, you know, talked about the Trump calling people like his son a loser and a sucker. I mean, he didn't talk about Hunter, though. I noticed he didn't talk about Hunter when in his little speech up there. You know, the son that that was in the Ukraine working for one of the most corrupt companies in one of the most corrupt countries in Eastern Europe and made $3 million in an industry that he knows nothing about. You know, that son. And then when the prosecutor started looking into Burisma and your son, daddy told him that if you don't fire the prosecutor, you don't get the money. And I noticed he didn't bring up Hunter. I wonder why. Or, you know, Hunter that flew with you to China on Air Force Two, came back and 2 months later secured $1.5 billion of Chinese money for an investment firm of which he had a part of, you know, that Hunter. You know, and you want to talk about Donald Trump? What has Donald Trump done? Let's talk about what Donald Trump has done, okay? Until January of this year, since President Trump was elected, up until January, and then obviously we know what happened with coronavirus, 7.3 million jobs were created. In 2019, 1.5 million jobs were added for women. Over 500,000 manufacturing jobs have created since Donald Trump was president. The current unemployment rate, or at that time in January, was at 3.5%, a 50-year low. Now, that does not mean that I don't think that that Trump inherited a good and stable economy. I'm not going to be that person that's going to say, well, you know, Obama was terrible. I do think that Obama could have probably unleashed a little more American growth. But, you know, let's face it. Obama inherited the economy in 2008 from George Bush, which had, you know, which was in financial meltdown. So letting the pot simmer and everything that the Obama administration did definitely didn't hurt the economy. But, you know, you talk about handing out billions to billionaires, those bailouts, absolutely, Obama was guilty of the same thing, handing out billions of dollars to billionaires. Hispanic unemployment rate was at a record low at 4.2%. Asian unemployment was at 2.5%. You could go on and on. Up until January of this year of the successes of Donald Trump. I certainly understand a lot of the people that may not like the way he talks or presents himself, but right now, the other choice for president is just not an option. I mean, I don't see how, in good conscience, I could vote for Joe Biden, knowing that he's been a racist his entire career, knowing that I think he's in cognitive decline, and more importantly, I know that a vote for Joe Biden is a vote for vice president. You're not voting for the president if you vote for Donald Trump, I mean for Joe Biden. You're voting for the vice president. Do you really think he's going to make it through 4 years, let alone eight, if he were to win? Oh, man. So we're still waiting for some callers. And let me see here. So we were talking about AOC before. And whenever I think of AOC and the people that subscribe to this belief that America owes them something and that socialism is the answer to that. I listen to the things that she says, like, you know, when she, you know, this is somebody that has a degree in economics that said, you know, the unemployment rate is low because everyone has two jobs. Just completely not understanding the unemployment rate. And when she said we have to take back the House, the Senate, and the presidency, those are the three branches of government. I mean, you know, somebody that just really doesn't understand much about government or economics or even politics, and people praise this person. And I'm reminded of a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, where he says, if you should look up Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a priest in Germany during World War II. And I believe he was executed actually by the Nazis. He was part of a plan, I think, to kill Hitler. But more importantly, Dietrich Bonhoeffer goes on to say, stupidity is a more dangerous enemy of the good than malice. One may protest against evil. It can even be exposed and, if need be, prevented by the use of force. Evil carries within itself the germ of its own subversion, in that it leaves behind in human beings at least a sense of unease. Against stupidity, we are defenseless. Neither protests nor the use of force accomplish anything here. Reasons fall on deaf ears. Facts that contradict one's prejudgment simply not be believed. In such moments, the stupid person even becomes critical. And when facts are irrefutable, they're just pushed aside as inconsequential, as incidental. In all this, the stupid person, in contrast to the malicious one, is utterly self-satisfied and, being easily irritated, becomes dangerous by going on the attack. For that reason, greater caution is called for when dealing with a stupid person than a malicious one. Never again will we try to persuade the stupid person with reasons, for it is senseless and dangerous. That's how I feel about that last guy that just called. Now, listen, I have a caller on hold, but if any of you are listening that are going to call, if you're going to call me and say something that stupid and that superficial and then not say anything, you're going to get yelled at. You're going to get yelled at. You're going to get hung up on. You're going to get thrown off. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to somebody who doesn't have the intellectual capability to understand it. I'm not going to sit here and have a debate with a guy that says, well, you guys are really full of it tonight. I have no idea what that even meant. If you have a criticism and you want to say something, come out and say it. If you want to debate a point, if you're on the opposite side, fine, go ahead. Make a point at least. Jesus. All right, caller, you're on.
Hey, is this Will?
Yeah.
This is Mike from North Carolina. I think that guy was my neighbor.
Oh, my God. Was he? I mean, that guy had, I mean, if you're going to come out and say something like that, defend it.
Oh, man. It was great too, man. He was just getting all worked up, couldn't control himself, couldn't get a word out edgewise, kept blaming you because you're talking over him, but he still never said anything.
But I kept asking him, are you going to say it? At first I told him, say it, and then I just let him sit there and say nothing, and he continued to say nothing. And then the typical left person, you know, blaming everybody else because you're an idiot and can't get the words out. Anyway, what's on your mind?
Well, I was trying to figure out this year, like so far, people have actually died from the flu. Trying to go online, I was wondering if you had an idea of what that number might have been. Because I'm assuming that it's – no, not from last year. So far this year, for 2020.
And you know, which number? Are you talking about the COVID flu?
No, just the flu in general, the standard flu that, you know, they say 60 to 80,000 people die from every year from the flu.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I overheard somebody speaking today, and they were saying that it was a very low number this year so far, like 15,000, because they were having a discussion with somebody about the whole 200,000 people have passed away from COVID, But it seems kind of odd that, you know, if only 15,000 people died from the flu, wouldn't that, like, tell you something, that maybe those 200,000 people that are considered dying from COVID are not really fully 200,000 just because they say they had COVID in their system?
I don't even think that number's true. I am not a denier that COVID kills people. Okay, I believe it kills people. As a matter of fact, I think that on November 4th, COVID takes a back seat, especially if Donald Trump doesn't get elected president. We don't hear about COVID anymore. People will still die from it, like they died from H1N1 and swine flu and SARS and all the other things that they died from, where 70,000 people last year between H1N1 and the flu and everything else had lost their lives. You know, the flu always kills 30,000 to 60,000 people. That's a fact. Okay, and now all of a sudden, I don't know if I even trust this 200,000 number across the United States. And now they're certainly saying that in some states they haven't had anybody that was young succumb to the flu. I mean, succumb to COVID. So that it certainly looks like people with pre-existing conditions and, you know, the elderly are the most susceptible. But after the election, people will still die from COVID. Just nobody's going to talk about it anymore. Same way they always died of things before. I mean, if it wasn't enough to see the tactics that they used to try to impeach our president, and I'm saying this as an American that voted for the president, and regardless of what side you're on, regardless of whether you like this president or not, you know, in a couple of months you can make your vote and change that. But you can't just overthrow a freely elected president. I mean, they've been trying to get rid of this guy since he put his hand on the Bible, before he put his hand on the Bible.
Before,
from emoluments clause and, you know, 25th Amendment and Russian collusion and impeachment and quid pro quo. And now, just so that you can really put it into context, you had the Speaker of the House saying, "We'll impeach the president for doing his constitutional duty." Think about that.
That's right.
Think about
hashtag
how scary that is.
You forgot.
Think about how
that,
scary it is. Hashtag do your job. But think about how scary it is that you'll threaten the mere utterance of the words impeachment. When not only nothing impeachable is there, but not even bad behavior is there. Not even anything unethical is there. Like you're brandishing a firearm. The mere mention of it is treasonous.
Well,
the mere
Go ahead. Hey, Will. A very wise man once told me that the problem with these people that are in the Senate in Congress that are running our country is that most of them are lawyers and attorneys, and all they do is they're paid to argue. So, I mean, it's just disgusting the amount that they play with everyone's lives and everybody's money, and they're having a grand old time up there making their stupid little arguments while the rest of the country suffers. I don't know. I just say let's nominate somebody. Let's put them through because it's all about the Constitution. It's not about what's better for them. It's what's better for the people.
And there is a whole group of people that believe that abortion is the only issue on their hierarchy of priorities. There are a whole group of people out there that is their utmost priority. And, you know, when you were talking about the lawyers, it's funny because one time in a call I had with Curtis Sliwa, and I'm arguing with Ron Kuby, a very left-wing defense attorney. Sometimes I think that he doesn't believe anything he says. He just kind of takes the opposite side no matter what, I think, you know, because some of the things he says are just so absurd that there's just no way a rational person could actually believe that. Not saying that you can't argue it, just saying that you can't actually feel that way, you know? So one day I'm arguing with him and he says, and he used to call me all kinds of things, you know, Nazi, and you know, anytime you disagree with someone on the left, you're like a Nazi, you're a misogynist, you're some type of phobe, you're a homophobe, Islamophobe, you're some kind of phobe, you know. And so he says to me, he goes, "Will, you know, I believe in facts and evidence and stuff like that, because, you know, I'm a lawyer," like really condescending. And some of my lawyer friends might get upset with this, but I said, "Actually, I beg to differ. I beg to differ. I think that facts and evidence get your clients put in prison. You deal in a world of reasonable doubt, circular arguments, and nonstop debate. You know, if this country, if you came here from, you know, outer space and you sat here and you saw all these people that represented us in Congress and you saw that this was supposed to be a Congress and a Senate of the people, elected by the people of the people, you would think that our occupation is 90% lawyer. You know, where are all the, you know, the engineers and the doctors and the businessmen? You know, you have people sitting on Senate committees for, you know, agriculture and infrastructure that are lawyers. How many bridges did that lawyer build? How many farms did that lawyer own? Where are all the people that did, you know, it was actually Neil deGrasse Tyson that I heard that from first, saying that the government needs to be comprised of more than just lawyers. Yeah, of course some lawyers, but, you know, what about the businessmen and the architects and the engineers and all these other people, because of all the other things that the government is involved in? Why aren't these people on those committees? It's supposed to be public service. You're supposed to have made your money in the real world, and then you give some time to public service, and then there'd be less gridlock. And that's why we're always in gridlock all the time. And these lawyers create these arguments. I mean, and now you have these people, this left-wing bunch of maniacs that are literally threatening to burn stuff down if they don't get their Supreme Court, if they don't delay the Supreme Court nomination. I mean, it's just, I can't even believe that this is America right now. Mike, thanks for the call.
You're welcome, Bill. Good luck with everything.
You have a good night. Thanks.
Great chat.
Oh, man, I kind of missed that guy that wanted to fight. I wish he had something good to say. But getting back to the whole AOC and the squad and the left-wing faction that is taking over the Democrat Party, this has to end. It has to end, or we're going to watch the Democrat Party implode. It can only happen for so long. What happened to the sensible middle-of-the-road Democrats? All right, we have another caller on. Let's take another call. You're on the air. Okay, we lost that one. Like I was saying, what happened to the sensible middle-of-the-road Democrats? And then, you know, some people argue that Joe Biden was a middle-of-the-road Democrat. Joe Biden, his pandering is off the charts. And I believe that people are going to vote for Joe Biden that are on the left because they believe that he will be the most effectively pressured by the left. And he will be the one that will succumb to all of their demands. And then you had Bernie Sanders, which was just as far left as you can go in America. I mean, look at the future of this Democrat Party. We have people like Tom Perez calling AOC the future of the Democrat Party. That's the future of your party. I think it's time to bring some sensible politics back to the Democrat side. I'd like to be able to vote for a Democrat again. I have to be honest. You know, I know that sometimes if I get, you know, the Republicans get their way, it's like pigs wallowing in the mud. And we know that, you know, I believe that, you know, if people need help and people need health care and people need, you know, that some people need food stamps. But, you know, last year alone, we spent $65 billion on food stamps. $65 billion. You know, I actually heard somebody say to me once, they said, you know, if we just taxed Jeff Bezos 10%, we could get rid of homelessness. Get rid of homelessness? First off, tax Jeff Bezos 10%. What do you mean by that? Clarify that. You mean confiscate 10% of his wealth? Is that what you're trying to say? Because that's not the same as taxing Jeff Bezos 10%. Whatever Jeff Bezos' income is, it's not the whole $192 billion that he's supposedly worth today. So you're saying let's confiscate 10% of Bezos' wealth, right? Okay, so let's say we did that. Let's say we confiscated 10% of Bezos' wealth and we were able to liquidate that and we came up with $20 billion. You're telling me that you could solve homelessness for $20 billion? This is the kind of left-wing lunacy that these people believe, and they vote based on this. All right, we have a caller on. All right, caller, you're on.
Hey, Will, this is Rob. How are you, man?
Hey, what's up, Rob?
What do you think about Nancy Pelosi and trying to threaten impeachment again?
I think that the mere mention of that is treason. Listen, no matter what side you're on, Trump needs to make a nomination. That has to happen. There's a vacant seat. He has to make a nomination. So for you to sit there and say, "Oh well, we have arrows in our quiver," or whatever she said, we're going to use these weapons against you, and using impeachment as a weapon. I mean, which was kind of why I was kind of against the impeachment of Bill Clinton to begin with, because impeachment is not a weapon. And you know, if you go looking for Whitewater, come up with Whitewater. Don't come up with some intern in the Oval Office and all the rest of this nonsense, because the weapons you forge can be used against you. Same way the impeachment was used against Trump, and the same way the nuclear option was used against the Democrats to put Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. So,
all right. But now, what do you think about everybody saying it's a hypocrisy about, you know, Mitch McConnell and 16 claiming that they should wait until a new president?
Well, Mitch McConnell and Cruz are scrambling for ways to explain this away and say that they, you know, that they're justified in changing their mind or being hypocritical or whatever you want to call it. I could certainly see if I was a Democrat saying that it's hypocritical. But then again, I look at it like, you know, the Democrats were going to confirm a nominee in Merrick Garland in 2016. So why shouldn't I be getting the Democrat votes then? Aren't they being hypocrites if they turn around and say, well, you know what, now you can't do it. Wait, so we were going to do it when it was your guy, so now we can't do it. So to me, it's just politics as usual. And if it costs you an election, one of these Republicans, to get this guy through, or a girl through, or a woman through, whoever it is, that to get this nominee through, that's a great hill to die on. You know, you need...
Do you think it will cost Trump the election?
No, I don't know if it will cost Trump the election, but if one of these flip-flopping senators that's going from saying that they shouldn't put a Supreme Court justice on in an election year, if it costs one of them the election, then, like I said, that's a good hill to die on, I think. The Supreme Court, you know, if we could get a third justice on the Supreme Court, you know, it will take, let's say it'll take a lot of those, it'll take a lot of those arrows out of Nancy's arrow bag there. Okay, so she'll have a lot less arrows if we have another justice on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, but Pelosi and them are threatening to flood the Supreme Court when they're in charge.
Yeah, I saw that. Spittleface, whatever his name is, the other Kennedy, the one that did the Democratic convention a few years ago with the slobber all over his mouth, was talking about stacking the court, which is something that Ruth Bader Ginsburg said she was against, and something that even Joe Biden said he was not in favor of. But, you know, like I said, pandering apologist like Joe Biden may not be for it today, but and especially as he loses his mental faculties and his presidency gets cannibalized by the far left, he may be for it then.
Mm.
So stacking the court, the Supreme Court has never had more than 10 justices on it. It's had as little as 5. So what are they going to do? Stack the court with historical amount of judges? That's your plan. So like I said, if Trump goes forward and puts forward a nominee like he's supposed to, and then the Senate puts it through with the help of people who said that you shouldn't put it through an election year, then they said, that's it. We're burning the whole thing down. We're burning it down. We're going to impeach people for no reason. I mean, think about the suggestion of that. Impeaching the president of the United States for doing his job. I don't care what side you're on. There's no other way to spin that thing. That's how it is. You're threatening to impeach the president for doing his job.
And you have Kamala Harris on the committee for the confirmation hearing. I mean, does she hold it up?
I mean, why would she not? I mean, you want to talk about a stage. So, you want to talk about a stage for grandstanding. I mean, that's the one.
Right. So is it a losing battle to even try to nominate somebody right now?
I think that if you don't try to nominate someone, people like me are going to be not happy. We're going to lose any faith in these Republicans whatsoever. I got to be honest. I don't love, having to vote Republican all the time as it is. And then if you lose this battle and you give in to those types of threats to our democracy and you don't fight to the end, I mean, at least if you fight to the end and you don't get the nomination through, okay, whatever. But if you don't fight at all and you don't nominate somebody and you don't try to put them through, I think there's a whole lot of people that you're going to alienate that should be voting for you.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of people are still going to vote for Trump, whether he gets a nomination in or not. The other option is just not enough. Like, he's batshit crazy.
Well, I'm nervous. All right, brother. Thanks for calling.
You have a good night, Will.
Take it easy. That's it. I mean, I'm looking for somebody to give me a good reason to vote for Joe Biden. I did have Sean call last week, and he kind of outlined a couple of reasons for us that he would vote for Joe Biden. And mostly it had to do with the fact that, you know, Trump mishandled COVID, in his opinion. I don't see anybody handling it better. I'd like to, you know, it's easy to play Monday morning quarterback and tell us how you would handle it better. But I don't see how anyone handles it any better. And let's not forget that we have all of these wonderful comments by Joe Biden. Hold on.
The first sort of mainstream African American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man.
Yeah, he's the first clean African American. Articulate. I mean, Jesus Christ. All right, we have another call on. Hold on. All right, caller, you're on.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you okay.
Okay, this is Cindy. How you doing?
Hey, Cindy, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good tonight, that's for sure. I was listening to your last caller about whether or not they're going to get this vote through, and they're absolutely going to be getting this vote through. and they absolutely have enough time, and they can't hold it up. I mean, I watched already the other two Supreme Court judges being nominated, and they did their best to hold that up, obviously, with the Kavanaugh whole, you know, bullshit. But I think that he's going to go with someone that's already been vetted, and I think Amy's going to win that out because she's already went through the whole entire procedure. I already watched her. I watched Susan Collins pick on her because she's religious, you know, and I saw, you know, I watch a lot of C-SPAN, so since I've retired, I've gotten really into politics. I have two military kids and one in the special services, and it matters
Thank
to me
you.
Who the president is. But,
Thank them.
It matters
yeah.
to me. Yeah, I come from a long background of military, and including my father's a veteran. And, you know, for me, I've always been a Democrat my entire life. This will be the first time I'm voting for a Republican. Believe it or not, I didn't vote for Trump last year. I mean, 2016, which is, you know, surprising because I didn't like the other candidate either. But, you know, I just I think we should vote. You know, put it this way. The way that the Democrats have been the past 3 years, the vindictiveness, the impeachment, which should be the ultimate, you know, thing for, you know, it, like you said, they throw it around like it's, you know, yesterday's news. It's like nothing to them to impeach somebody for anything. And that's just ridiculous. And, you know, the way that they've been acting, you think for 1 minute, if they had the House and they had the, you know, and they had the presidency, that they wouldn't be rushing this through? Come on. I mean, any Democrat out there that thinks that somehow if they had both chambers that they would not in election year vote in a new Supreme Court judge, that's crazy. You know, all of these people that are saying that they should be on their high moral grounds, these Republicans, when have the Democrats in the last 3 years been on their, you know, had any kind of high moral ground? You know, I listened to him say that they should listen to Ruth, you know, her last dying wish that, you know, she wants a new president to, you know, replace her. You know, come on, really? I just, you know, they're saying that, and just like you were saying earlier, you know, like just because I've changed my stance on what's going on because I don't like that I live in New York and California and that both places I've seen the crime go up. I've seen these crime bills being passed. I've seen sanctuary cities. I've lived near the border in California. I don't even recognize my state anymore. You know, I have a lot to, like, I have a lot of knowledge and a lot of input on this because I grew up in San Diego and then I moved to New York and I've seen a lot of, you know, just bad policy. So what I love to talk to people about is policy. I don't like Trump's personality. I mean, he could stop saying some of the things he says. I think he's funny as heck, but, you know, sometimes. But, I mean, he's just not that typical politician that we all have grown to hate. Because, yes, they flip-flop every couple years. They, you know, it's just – it's crazy. It's crazy. I think all these outside interests, you know, pay them off and so forth. And, you know, but there is so much corruption. As we have all noticed, you mentioned the Biden thing, the Hunter Biden. Where is Hunter Biden? You know, there's so much corruption going on in our government that everyone should be, our eyes should be wide open to that for sure this past, you know, last few years. And, you know, I'm just, you know, I've been called racist. I've been called, you know, like everything in the book, just like you were talking about. You know, I think people are afraid to say that they'll vote for Trump. So I'm really not that afraid because I think that people are, you know, I just think they're afraid and not to say it anymore because we're just going to be, you know, picked on or battered or whatever. I really can't even wear a Trump hat because I'm afraid, you know, and that's not how politics or this country should be run. I mean, we used to be able to say what was on our mind and have conversation with one another and say, well, this is the policy I like and this is the policy I don't like. You know, and I just don't feel that's all gone. That's all out the window.
Well, I think that.
Go ahead.
I think that, you know, you can't have that conversation with a lot of people, especially on the left, about this policy I like and this one I don't like, because they don't know much about policy. Let's face it. They make emotional arguments. They make angry, crazy arguments about how, you know, you're a racist because you voted for Donald Trump. And they don't understand my hierarchy of priorities. And it's pretty simple, actually. It's really not that hard to understand. It's economy, it's military, it's security, it's a border. It's straightening out asymmetrical trade deals with countries that have been taking advantage of us. It's unleashing the American might of our economy. These things are like simple, simple things. It's patriotism. It's loving my country and loving my flag and knowing that, yeah, it's not perfect and the system's not perfect. But you know what? We're free and you're allowed to say things that people don't like and you're allowed to be a horrible person if you want to be. And that doesn't mean we need to like them or condone what they say, but we can't censor what they say or sanction what they say. You know, the Constitution is what separates us from these other countries and the people that want to impose their will on us and the people that want to handcuff us, you know, metaphorically and literally. The people that want to, you know, take away our rights because of the things we believe or that we say, they need to be stopped. You know, I'm not a huge, you know why I don't have a Trump hat or a Trump flag?
Why? Why?
Because if I didn't have a Reagan flag, there's no way I'm going to have a Trump flag. Now, I was talking to a couple of people at a party I was at not long ago, and the lady's like, well, you know, I want to get a Trump flag, but my daughter would be upset with me. And I said, I won't have a Trump flag because I'm not going to fly a president's flag. There's only one flag that I fly, and that's the red, white, and blue. And if you don't like my red, white, and blue flag, if you don't like the fact that we honored our flag because both my grandfathers were World War II veterans, one of them had two Purple Hearts, you know, a real hero, you know, that loved this country, came from another country and loved his country. His whole family, he might have been born here as a little baby, but the rest of them, you know, his older brothers and sisters were off a boat from another country and came here to fight and fought for America. And when you ask them, you know, are you Italian? He'd say, I'm American. You know, that type of patriotism is gone. And it's a corrosive force from the left. You know, when I know a lot of people like you right now, I voted for Trump from the beginning. As a matter of fact, it's funny. Some of the people that listen that are hard Trump supporters are going to laugh right now. But I went with my son to vote for Trump the first time. And I was in the, I voted and I was in the voting, whatever hall in the school that I was voting in. Yeah. As we're walking out of the place, it was packed, right? As we're walking out, my son says real loud, he goes, did we vote for Trump? And everyone turned around. And I looked at him and said, unfortunately. Because I believed at that time, and I'm not afraid to admit it. Yeah, I'm not afraid to admit it. You know, I will admit that he has done a much better job than I thought he would do. But I said, this is a choice between shooting yourself in the head or in the foot. You know, I think Trump's the foot. I'll take the buffoon. I'm not going to take the wicked witch. You know, I said, I'm not going to take the lady that, you know, made $250 million in politics. You know something's wrong when you do that, you know. And there's just all the whole list of other corrupt things and, you know, stayed with that rapist of a husband so that she could ride his coattails to the White House. Just everything that I despise about her, you know. And I said, I'll vote for the dummy. You know, the rich dummy. I'll vote for the rich dummy. And but I knew at least one thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I would vote for him just because of his business. You know, I mean, I should have thought a bit more that way because, you know, he's an excellent businessman. So why wouldn't he have been, you know, like all his deals, all his trade deals and like his, you know, holding back from paying like these countries, like, you know, when they're corrupt and shit. I mean, that is what policy is supposed to be. You know, I mean, he could get impeached over it, but when Obama did it and Biden did it and said he wasn't going to pay if he didn't, like, investigate his son, somehow that wasn't a crime. But just telling them that if you don't get your country, you know, together and hire, you know, get the right, you know, people in there to, you know, it's just bull. You know, it's like if there wasn't – there's so much double standard that I saw in these last 3 years that I, you know, and like you said, where is the Democrat Party? The Democrat Party I voted for believed in what they called border guards back in 1994 when Clinton ran. You know, it was like, where are these people that just don't, you know, these people want open borders and open this and open that and free for everyone. I'm a hard worker. I worked my entire life. All my kids are college educated, they and military, and they work for their money. They work, you know, they My son will be he's going to graduate this year, hopefully, with his in his honors for computer science engineer. You know, he's going to be a coder, and he's worked his ass off. I mean, you know, pacing every single night, staying up till midnight every single night in college, you know, and so, I mean, you know, I love the fact that I taught my kids that they have to, like, work for everything, and that kind of stuff pays off. And it seems like today's kids now, somehow they weren't taught that, and they just think that they should take all the money from the rich. Just like you said, where are you going to take 10% off these rich people? You're just going to steal it from them, basically, because it's not taxing them. I mean, God knows we pay enough in taxes, especially in New York and California. So, you know, I just think that this party has gone somewhere. I can't find them. I just don't know what happened to them. I wish the old Democrat Party of the 1990s, you know, is back, because I'm not really a Republican.
You know, it's funny I feel like they forced me into a tribe also. I like the freedom to be able to vote for a candidate based on the merit of that candidate. I was never like a big party person, you know, like, because, you know, as a young man reading George Washington's farewell address, I said, wow, this guy knew this 250 years ago. He was able to see what was going to happen, that the savvy few would manipulate the needs, you know, would manipulate the party and for their own needs and forget the needs of the many. And so I was never like a big party person, you know, as a Republican or a Democrat, although I have voted Democrat before, and I certainly have voted Republican, especially recently. But I will tell you this. I mean, the Democrat Party has effectively moved itself so far left that things like the Blue Dog Democrats, how do you think Trump won the election? You know, when you flip things like Pennsylvania, Michigan, when you were looking at the map and you really looked at the counties that he flipped on the map to pull those counties, they were the old Reagan Democrats. They were the Blue Dog Democrats. They were the Democrats. You know, the Democrats have made it so that if you disagree, you're out of their party. They actually did themselves a disservice. They've created two types of people. People that are leaving their party and pandering apologists that are trying to pander and just can't come up with the right words, which is why you see Joe Biden saying all these things like, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And, you know, people just don't know what to do. They don't know what to do with their kids. They don't know how to raise their kids. Put on the record player, stuff like that. Because what you're seeing is this pandering white apologist try to search for words because he's not used to trying to appeal to this new base, right? So, and they've done it like by saying things like, oh, if you don't believe in abortion, you're not a Democrat. We saw that whole wave go through just a couple years ago where they pretty much threw everybody out of their party. That was, I mean, because they used to have those Blue Dog Democrats that didn't believe in abortion. They were those Union Democrats and those Labor Party Democrats and strong American worker and manufacturing Democrats
and
green
and the police union Democrats. You mean the police?
You mean like the ones that right now they just threw under a bus,
alienated,
and
yes,
watching cops get beaten and hit with Molotov cocktails and shot in the face, and then having a group of anarchist protesters block the hospital hoping that they die.
And I don't really get these senators and stuff aren't out on there saying, you know, that they, you know, disagree with this and that they pull them back off that, you know, because, you know, like during their convention, I didn't hear one word about any of this stuff. Living in an area that I've seen people get off an off ramp here in San Diego or L.A. area and get beat this, you know, beat up through their car with kids in the back. I mean, it's outrageous and people aren't seeing it, I guess. And I hope your viewers are understanding that this is real and it's true. And it's happening in these democratic cities, and we've all loaded up on guns and weapons. I mean, it's, you know, it's a scary time when you can't even speak, you know, about policy anymore. And that's exactly what I go back to, is that I want your next show to be on, if you don't already have a theme, is like, you know, name, you know, five policies that Trump passed that you absolutely can't stand, or five policies that Biden will put through that you absolutely love. Because nobody really is talking about the policy of our country, you know, and that's really what matters for your wealth, for your health, for your just about everything is all wrapped around policy. It's not about someone's personality. I wouldn't have voted for any of these presidents. You know what I mean? It's not really about someone's personality. It's about if they do what they say. And, you know, and the Democrats right now are, you know, they want everybody to, like, you know, do what I say, but not what I do type of you know, and if everyone can't see that, and then they go and they nominate, like, somebody, you know, that he's not going to be a president. I mean, come on, you know, he's definitely, I'm not going to say a puppet. I'm not going to, you know, he's not, I don't know what his mental condition is, but just last night at his own thing, he said 200 million people died of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
I mean, 200 million. I mean, he can't even get numbers right. He can't get, you know, I feel really bad for him, and I feel bad that they're using him. But you know that that's not who's going to be the president. They're going to claim the first black president will be Kamala, and that's basically what they're going for.
Well, I'll tell you this. They're definitely – yeah, this will be the first time in American history that the people on one side voted for the vice president. I mean, there's no way you're voting for this president because it's obvious if you don't think that his mental decline is an issue – 4 years is a long time in the most stressful job in the world. This guy should be enjoying his retirement out somewhere in the sunset. You know, just this is not what he should be doing. He certainly should not be the leader of the free world. Now, Trump, you may argue with his crudeness and his bruteness, but you cannot argue with his mental acuity, okay? You may think he's crazy, but he's definitely all there, all right? You may disagree with his... You know, whatever. You might call him a narcissist. You might call him a lot of things, although I think you have to be some kind of narcissist to even want this damn job. Who the hell would want this job, right? I mean, you have to be some kind of sick person 100%. To want this job, right? So, you know, no matter how well you hide it, like Obama hid it well, and George Bush was kind of a dope, so he kind of was like, I'm running for God. Jesus told me to be president. You know what I mean? And like, you know, but then Donald Trump may be a little bit of a deranged individual, but you know, you have to kind of be a deranged individual to want this job. And I'll tell you what, he is the only person, and this is why I had to eat my words with a lot of my Trump supporting friends, that actually did or tried to do the things he said he was going to do. And the amazing part is he was getting it done and trying to get it done despite all the perverse and subversive behavior from the left, which is why they shut down the whole country from coronavirus and made sure they locked everything down. They couldn't stop all the success that this guy was having, even throwing fake impeachments at him and everything else. Okay. Because the real things that we care about, strengthening our military, he added billions and billions into our military to make it strong. Okay. And not blowing up every country in the world either and killing people, just strengthening our military as a deterrent.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah, because, sure.
Can I say something about that? Because my son-in-law was in for, I think it was 10 years at that time frame when Obama was in, and they shut down all kinds of bases. They cut people. They asked my daughter if she wanted to leave. I think she was almost 10 years in herself, and she decided not to leave. And, you know, they didn't push the females out, but they did push a bunch of people that had a lot of years, which my son-in-law was one of them. So they pushed him out of the military after 10 years of service. They did not let him resign. That was Obama's policy. I don't care who believes this or not. That is what happened to my family. And now they are begging people, or they're bringing people in. The military is, you know, and at that time, by the way, they put us in all these senseless wars where we had no business to be in. And then they deleted like all of our military, you know, they didn't fix the planes. They didn't, you know, that's what my daughter does. She works on the fighter jets, and she's a mechanic on the fighter jets, and so was he. And it's just, it was ridiculous that they, you know, these pilots were passing out in the air because they weren't, you know, fixing these machines and this and that. I mean, our military was treated so poorly, and our veterans under Obama, that it just made me sick. I didn't, it was just so bad, and I can't even, you know, express enough, like being an NYPD cop, and then 11 years into it, they decide, you know, we don't really need cops anymore. You got to go. You don't get your pension. You don't get shit, you know, and that's not fair. You can't, you know, it was up to him to re-sign up. And so I do love the fact that this president is pro-military and he is pro-veteran. My dad now, who lives in Arizona, can go to a regular hospital because he lives 2 hours from the closest VA hospital. I mean, there is so much going on behind the scenes that this man is trying to do for those who've sacrificed their, you know, their whole life for us. And I just don't understand how people don't see that. But they just, again, they don't listen to the policy. I mean, we're building our military, you know, and not putting people in wars. We're bringing them home. And there's a reason for that. And they also, it's the first time that they've gotten a raise in a many, many, many years that regular military people got raises. And that's just, you know, that's another good thing. I just had to put that in there because I know a lot about the military because I'm living it.
Well, you know what? They got raises, and the American people had their first meaningful wage increase, probably, if you look at the numbers, and probably close to 30 years under Donald Trump. It was the first time we saw a significant uptick in the median income. So, mm-hmm. you know, and the depletion of our military equipment, especially in the Navy, just absolutely abominable. I mean, he completely depleted our, if you listen to any of the generals that would talk about the depletion of our military equipment under mm-hmm. Obama's presidency, and that's what this president believed in. Instead of bombing patches of sand, let's invest in our military. Sure, we got to destroy ISIS. We shouldn't have had to destroy ISIS because ISIS should have never existed. Okay, ISIS yep. should have, we should have made sure that, you know, we should have told Iraq, you know, that's the funny thing. Whenever you bring this up, that Obama took 170,000 soldiers out of Iraq and then it fell into chaos, the first thing that somebody on the left is going to say to you is, well, it was George Bush's timeline. Yeah, well, Obama was president. Okay, George Bush made plenty of mistakes. We all know that, right? We can all agree on that. Mm-hmm. Great, fantastic. A timeline for withdrawal was certainly one of them. Okay, you don't get a timeline for withdrawal. You're occupied. You don't get to decide that. Okay, as a matter of fact, you're lucky you can mm-hmm. even hang your flag. Okay, well, you're occupied. You lost. Now we're going to tell you how it goes, especially when we're helping you rebuild your infrastructure and giving billions of dollars. The month where our money went between Bush and Obama in Iraq and Afghanistan and all of these areas in the Middle East is just a disgusting, just filthy, you know, just absolutely riddled with corruption and deceit and lies. And they were taking the money out of Iraq and investing it in other neighboring countries like Dubai. And so it was just really just, I know a lot of people that actually did some business over there in Iraq when they were rebuilding the infrastructure. And the stories that they tell me, it's horrendous what happened to the American taxpayer money. And then at the end of the day, to spend $1 trillion, over $1 trillion in the Middle East, and then hand it over to ISIS and Russia and Iran. It's just mm-hmm. appalling. It's sickening. And now you have a president that's actually doing something about it.
Absolutely. You know, and China has, you know, they're going to get what they have coming to them. And that's one of the reasons, you know, that I would definitely vote for Trump is that I think he's a lot harder on China. And yes, you have to walk that fine line where you don't really like someone like, you know, the leader of North Korea. But, you know, like he's the only president that actually put his hand out and tried to stop what was going on. And he did. And so far he has, you know, but, you know, it's such a hard line to walk. You know, you're trying to do deals with these people, but then you want them like, you know, to know that the United States is, you know, we're the leaders. You know, we are the leaders of the world, regardless whether we like it or not. We are, and we need to stand up to that. And some of these presidents have just been so damn weak, like giving Iran money. I mean, that's bullshit. People said last week on your show that that was Iran's money anyway. Okay, well, it's really always been our money. You know, we sanction them and we do that, you know, but it's our taxpayer money goes to all these countries. We're very, very, you know, a great country. That's why, you know, when I see people out in the streets holding their own flags, like the Mexican flag and then this flag here in San Diego, and they hate America, I don't understand why they're here. You know, why are they here? I thought that they came to the best land in the world. I thought that they broke in, half of them or whatever. You know, I won't say half of them. You know, they broke into our country, you know, to get out of their terrible third world countries. And now they're saying that our country is horrible, too. And it just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see that the patriotism of our country, something that I hold dear, is just being wiped out. You know, so
well,
I definitely think that, you know.
We never had on both sides of my family, half is Irish, half is Italian. You didn't see an Italian flag or an Irish flag hanging in any of our windows. Okay, and I know some Italians and I know some Irish people that do. Trust me, I'm friends with people that do. And I tell them, mm-hmm. First off, I laugh at the Italians. I'm like, how much Italian you speak? Oh, you mean zero? Oh, cool. When's the last time you've been to Italy? Oh, like never? Oh, so then your parents must be from Italy then. No? Oh, your grandparents? No? Oh, like five generations? What are you doing? Get that stupid flag out of your window. This is the United States of America. Hang an American flag. Okay? And I say the same thing to my Irish friends. I'm like, you know, where are you hanging? What is it? I don't care if it's St. Paddy's Day or what day it is. Only one flag gets adorned on my house, and that's the American flag. And if patriotism is the if I'm a racist because I'm a patriot and I love my country, I thought my country and our constitution is for the benefit of all men, and people are trying to tell me that that's not true, and that because there was a history of slavery or there was a history of racism in our country, that that's exactly what this country still is today. And that's untrue, because 500,000 people died in that civil war, 200 and that was 150 years ago. So, you know, this country has a lot of good in it. Sure, you know, there's bad. There's bad in every country. But when I see people coming here, you're waving your flag. Why'd you come here? Why'd you come here to wave another flag? I don't get it. You know, this country is giving you probably not just a free country to live in, but probably also Section 8 and food stamps and Medicaid. And certainly if you don't have those things, if you got papers or you got a green card, you definitely are getting all those things. But if you're illegal, well, then you'll just have to go get some free stuff from the places that will allow you to have it in these sanctuary cities where you can go into hospitals and get free care and get free this. Like New York City, nobody will be shunned from the hospital and they'll be given food. And so you're in a country. You had to leave your country to come to another country to get free stuff. And you hate it?
Mhm. It's shocking.
All right, Cindy. So, what was your suggestion for next week's topics?
I would love for someone to either call in either five policies that they love or hate about Trump, or five policies that they love or hate about Biden. I just want to see somebody, especially on the left, talk about the policies that they love that the Democrat Party has brought forward. I just, you know, I never hear anybody talking about a policy. They just call me racist, and they never, you know, you can't get, just like that caller that, you know, you were trying to get him to say, like,
one.
Okay, well, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, if he came on there and he said, you know, like, Trump passed this and this and that, and that won't benefit these and these and these people because this and this and that. I mean, I'm interested. I want to hear somebody actually speak about what the president is supposed to be running for, and which is policy.
I probably would have let him throw an F-bomb. I probably would have let him throw a couple F-bombs at me, too, if he just said something besides, you know, you guys are really full of it tonight, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, okay. I don't know how many times I had to say elaborate, explain, before I just started yelling at him. Now I'm just going to yell at you because you're an imbecile and you're wasting my time. But at one point, I was just like, just say something. Like, if he called and said, you know, this isn't where the country should be, this type of partisanship, even if it was all wrong, just say something. Even if he said, you know, Trump brings out hate in people, he's got a dog whistle for racism, say that. At least say the typical stupid left-wing imbecile talking points that, you know, pander to the lowest common denominator of intelligence. At least get that out of your mouth. He couldn't even get that out of his mouth. Joe Biden is quicker than that guy. All right, Cindy, thanks for calling.
All right.
All right, bye.
All right, thanks. All right, bye.
And that's another thing, you know, she brought up a lot of good points, but especially about, you know, people that want to come to this country and hate our country. And then the Democrats taking advantage of that and telling these people that they're victims. You're a victim, you know, the victim mentality. And we know that that's part of how the Democrats plan on winning elections. You know, free stuff, free stuff, free stuff. And you're a victim, you're a victim, you're a victim. Someone owes you, someone owes you. It's hard to deny. You know, if anybody's out there that's calling that could sit here and argue with me about that, I'd love to argue with somebody that's against that position, that could sit here and say that the Democrats don't win elections, especially in the past 20 or 30 years, that they don't win elections by promising free stuff and telling people that they're victims and that they should get special treatment because they're victims. Somebody call up and argue that. and tell me that the Democrats, you know, have platforms besides abortion and transgender bathrooms. And Trump, a big orange man, bad. I'd like to have some discussions. You know, Cindy's right. Talk about some policy. Let's give us some policy that the Democrats want to enact, that Donald Trump and the Republicans are holding up, that's so vital to America, that will make America better. I mean, you're supposed to be the party of progressives, right? You're the progressive party, right? Where's all this? What's progressive about burning down cities and looting and rioting and lawlessness? What's progressive about that? How is that progressive? Talk about some progressive policies you would like to see enacted that Donald Trump and the Republicans are holding back. That because of his election or his reelection, that won't happen and America won't progress and prosper if he's elected. I'd like to know. I mean, talk about pandering. I mean, Joe Biden playing Despacito. Did this idiot ever even listen to the words to Despacito? I mean, my wife speaks Spanish, and I speak decent Spanish. I certainly understand pretty good Spanish. And let me tell you something. This guy should have listened to how to translate it before he went up there and playing this song in front of people like he's some cool, hip, old guy. Because Luis Fonsi was standing next to him. He looked like a pandering imbecile. I mean, this guy is just absolutely embarrassing and pathetic. And then you're up there playing Despacito. And telling Latinos, too. It's amazing because everybody thinks that Latinos are, you know, all these left-wing, they all support these left-wing socialist, you know, politicians. And this simply isn't true. You know, if you look at, let's say, Colombia, for example, they have never voted left-wing, at least for president. They're always right and center-right. If you look at Brazil, they voted for a guy that's called, you know, Brazilian Trump, Bolsonaro. You know, Chile, Pinero, and Macri in Argentina, moving right of Kirchner. I mean, this is just a fake narrative. Okay, now the ones you get here, that Latinos that come here, yeah, there's going to be a lot of them that are on the left, especially when you have Joe Biden saying everybody from Venezuela could come here. Of course he wants the people from Venezuela to come here because they voted for socialism. You want to talk about democratic socialism? Oh, and Bernie Sanders is democratic socialism. Let's talk about democratic socialism, okay? Because Venezuela was an experiment in democratic socialism. Hugo Chavez was voted for. Not the type of communism that Cuba has, where Fidel Castro took over Cuba with a bunch of rebels and Che Guevara coming out of the woods with a tank. They voted for it. And then all of a sudden the election fixing started going on. And now they don't have hospitals. Now people are literally eating dogs and cats. They're fleeing a country that was one of the largest GDPs in the world. They're fleeing it by millions. In Colombia, there are millions of refugees right now that are making wallets and pocketbooks and origami out of the bolivar because it's worth more as origami than it is as currency. Schools and hospitals closed, no food in the supermarkets. That was a very wealthy country. And democratic socialism destroyed it. So now, of course, the left always says, oh, yeah, we want, yeah, come on in. El Salvador. In their last election, they voted center, actually. You'll never hear about that because the news doesn't want to tell you that. But when they were all coming here in caravans, President Seren was a communist guerrilla. And then they made, you know, in a lot of these countries down there, when they're fighting these civil wars, they make peace with the left-wing side, and you're forgiven for all your crimes, and you won't be prosecuted. And then, like in FARC in Colombia, and you know, and Salvador Seren's party in El Salvador, and then they run as a political party. And guess what political party they become? What do you think? Yes, socialists. They become socialists and communists and, you know, left-wing, they're for the people, right? So, of course, they wanted to get people from El Salvador, too. These are people that voted for communism. And then once, you know, millions of them fled and left, obviously ones that didn't have money and were poor, then all of a sudden the country now voted for center-right. As a matter of fact, he's a billionaire or something like that, like Trump. And they voted center-right. I guess they got rid of enough communists and poor people here to the United States to take the burden on. And, of course, the Democrats want that because that's their future voter. And then they're going to get them here and they're going to say, you're a victim. Somebody owes you something. You should get all free stuff and vote for us. That's what they do. That's their identity politics. That's how they divide this nation. That's how they're going to break us apart. All to try to sell us out for power, for money. And if the Democrats can change the demographics so much that they can get these votes forever and maintain their power, I don't see how this country can sustain itself, which brings us back to why the Supreme Court is so important. A lot of these issues will wind up in front of them. A lot of these issues are going to wind up in front of the Supreme Court, and we need conservative justices on there. We can't allow the deterioration of our country anymore. This perversion brought on by the left has just taken this country. I mean, we have people that, I mean, you know, burning our flag happened 30 years ago, even when I was younger. It happened. But it wasn't like this. It wasn't every city all over the place where everybody burned our flag and hated our country. They've really got a large following now. When are we going to be fed up enough to do something about it? Having them pass this Supreme Court justice or get this nomination through, to me, is paramount. And it's worth whatever political sacrifice it costs. Now, for next week, we're going to have a couple more topics. I did want some people to send us some messages. Send them to Will's Wake Up Call, our Facebook page. If you're on our Facebook page and you're following us, send us some messages on a couple of the topics that you would like to discuss next week. I think that we're going to be putting on there. One of them is going to be, should billionaires exist? Should billionaires exist? So we're hoping to get some of our left-leaning callers to call us up and tell us why they think that billionaires should not exist, and if there is another system or a better system that would be more equitable for, you know, the 360 million of us that live in this country. And if there are any economic models that you could base a viable economic model for the United States on, that would be an interesting topic. Should billionaires exist? And we're also going to add in Cindy's topic. Thanks for calling that in, of, you know, list five policies that Trump has enacted, defended, you know, helped get passed, you know, whatever it is, implemented, however whatever policies that you like or hate. Five policies that Trump stands behind that you love or hate. And for the left side, if anybody could come up with five policies that the Democrats support or even are against on the Trump side, So if you support the Democrats in their opposition to those policies, we'll even accept that as a talking point. And that's going to be put out on our page next week. And we might also be able to take one more topic. And of course, I'm sure the election and the Supreme Court nomination is going to be going even further and probably get much more chaotic, especially with the left, promising to burn things down and blow stuff up and impeach the president and whatever other type of awful things they could come up with, stack the court, whatever underhanded left-wing nonsense. What I used to think were mainstream Democrats, you know, I didn't think Pelosi was this far gone, but now I guess the AOCs and the squad have put enough pressure on Pelosi to force her into this absolutely insane left-wing lunacy. I mean, you know, I never really liked her, but in the past couple of years, she's really showed me that she's just an awful, despicable person. So that's it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening. You can tune in next week, same time, 8 o'clock on Will's Wake Up Call. The link will be sent out to our Facebook followers. Everybody have a good night.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair.